From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 28th day of July 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll get an update of crop conditions from the state statisticians across Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota. And I'll tell you a little bit about my route across 20, that beltlines the middle of the state of Iowa, and in particular, some of the conditions in west central Iowa, and some of the adventures I have had there. I'm still traveling today back home from Fargo. I spent the week with my daughter there. She's a barley agronomist at Anheuser-Busch. And then, as we wrap up our time together, we'll talk about the agricultural energies with Dan O'Brien. We'll check out what's been happening in the great state of Kansas as well. He is with K-State Extension.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, no update of the commodity markets for the afternoon is I had some good and bad luck. So I was started across Iowa, hit a pothole and bent a rim on the car. So I am in Holstein, Iowa right now at Vollmer Motors. Thanks to them for hosting me for the closing market report today. And Wayne Nelson now joins us from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. I've been pretty busy this morning, Wayne, but I did get a chance to look at the marketplace and things were sharply lower. As we're talking here at around 12:30 Central Time, where are the markets and why are they lower for the day?
Well, we've got corn down 4.25 to 4.75 here today, Todd. We've got beans down 11.5 to 13.5, and wheat is down about 3.5 here as we speak. And it's all because of basically the weather and the crop ratings and a lack of any Chinese announcements again today. So all of that put together here, you know, the increase of 3% in both the corn and the beans yesterday, and mainly the high producing states is where we saw the bigger increases. And so basically it's just pressure of the idea of great production.
Yeah, so I'll have a better idea, speaking of this, and you should be able to go right now to willag.org and see my Twitter account there live or at Commodity Week, because I will be traveling, no doubt, during the closing market report across Iowa and making some stops. I am in west central Iowa at the moment, which is one of the driest areas across the state, though Iowa looks like it's pretty dry in a lot of places. I can tell you there was a cornfield outside of the hotel where I stayed last night, and I just went over and looked at it, didn't cross the fence to get into it because it had barbed wire across the top, but the ears were big there. It'll be interesting to see how it's done. They have not had a rain here, Wayne, since June, so they went the whole month of July and didn't get anything this week out of the rainfall either. It'd be interesting to see how all of this unfolds, but today the market is saying, hey, USDA's crop progress reports are showing a decent crop, and I got to tell you, from what I've seen in North and South Dakota, Minnesota, Illinois, even the part of Iowa I'm in at the moment, they're probably right, I think. But things can change fairly quickly. The marketplace is lower. What are farmers asking? Because I know they've got old crop corn probably still to sell.
It's been a pretty quiet day as far as the phones went. Like you said, even Michael Cordonera went up 1.5 bushels on corn on his yield and a bushel on the beans. But the farmers are basically, they're sort of in shock and awe, sort of. Here we are. It's just, oh, God. We thought we had a little rally going. We thought we had some Chinese buying. We had talked that the corn price was the highest it's been in their country, and thought they would be back in buying a little more corn. And boy, the last couple of days, they're just, you know, we've shut off from any of that. And along with the just what you're seeing there, it's just awful hard to be anything but a little bit bearish looking at these markets today.
Yeah, so for I think 10 days in a row, the Chinese purchased from the United States some soybeans, but not in this last set that was released this morning, correct?
Yeah, no, they are definitely absent today, and you know, we'd like to see some. Egypt was in; they had their largest wheat purchase since October of 18, but that was all Russian and West the Russian wheat that they bought. So, you know,
the Black Sea area.
The U.S. wasn't even on any of the bids because they weren't close. So even with that, with that big wheat purchase done and out there and happening, why it's still, we're looking here at the wheat down on the day.
So what do the crops look like in Crawfordsville? I've been on the road for a week. By the way, for those who just cringed, I am really following the COVID-19. So while I've been on the road, I've mostly been out in fields and not in contact with people. So I do as I say, not as I do sometimes. But what does the crop look like in your area?
Well, I hate to brag a little bit, Todd, but it's probably the best looking corn crop I've seen in the whole time I've been in this community over 40 years. I think that we have a tremendously even crop. It looks very much like our area could have an over 200 bushel average this year. I mean, it's sort of like we're in central Illinois instead of western side of west central Indiana. It's just that good looking crop. We got another inch of rain even, you know, yesterday afternoon about 2 o'clock, and we're just in great shape. I mean, it just can't look much better. I don't know how we could ever expect a better looking crop than what we have right now.
Let's go with, we have more bushels to sell, even if it's at a lower price. I think we should end on that as a happier note.
Yes. At least, you know, that it will help the gross income with these bushels, that's for sure.
You bet. Hey, thanks, Wayne.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. Well, yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It showed around the nation that 82% of the corn crop has now silked. The five-year rolling average is 75%. 22% of the crop is in the dough stage, 17% is the five-year average, and the crop is said to be in 55% good and 17% excellent condition. That's up from the previous week of 52% good and 17% excellent. Last year, by the way, those numbers were 47 and 11, respectively. Around the nation, 76% of the soybean crop is blooming, 72% is the five-year average, 43% of the crop has set pods, 36% is the five-year average, and the condition of that crop increased from last week, too. It is now 57% good and 15% excellent. Last week, it was 54% good and 15% excellent. Now, here are updates from the state statisticians in Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Another week with primarily spotty rains meant farmers had 6.0 days suitable for field work during the week ending July 26, 2020. Field work activities included spraying, harvesting hay, and grain movement. Aerial application of fungicides was also reported. Topsoil moisture levels rated 11% very short, 27% short, 59% adequate, and 3% surplus. Subsoil moisture levels rated 6% very short, 26% short, 65% adequate, and 3% surplus. West Central Iowa topsoil and subsoil moisture supplies are the lowest in the state, with well over half considered short to very short. Corn silking or beyond reached 87%. 12 days ahead of the previous year and 3 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn in the dough stage reached 23%, 10 days ahead of the previous year and 4 days ahead of the average. Corn condition rated 77% good to excellent. Soybeans blooming reached 85%, just over 2 weeks ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of average. Soybean setting pods reached 50%, just over 2 weeks ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of average. Soybean condition rated 76% good to excellent. Pasture condition rated 51% good to excellent. Some pastures are going dormant due to lack of adequate rain. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Rainfall and temperatures were both above normal last week in Illinois. Rainfall averaged nearly 1 1/4 inches across the state, and that was 1/4 inch above normal for this time of year. Northern and western areas had slightly below normal rainfall, while the rest of the state was wetter than usual. There was an average of 5 days suitable for field work last week, and topsoil moisture supplies were rated 1% very short, 11 short, 79 adequate, and 9% surplus. The Illinois corn crop is now silking on 89% of acres compared to 52% last year and 84% for the 5-year average. 22% of acres have reached the dough stage compared to 28% normally. The condition of the crop was 5% very poor to poor, 21% fair, and 74% good to excellent. That is better than the previous week. Soybeans are blooming on 67% of acres compared to 74% normally. 36% of acres are setting pods. Soybean conditions were reported as 5% very poor to poor, 19% fair, and 76% good to excellent, and that is also better than 1 week earlier. Winter wheat harvest is now 97% finished compared to 98% normally. For alfalfa hay, the second cutting is 81% finished, and the third cutting is 17% complete. Pasture conditions were rated 6% very poor to poor, 14% fair, and 80% good to excellent. That is better than the previous week. And in other news, on July 24, NAS mailed out questionnaires to a sample of farmers for the August yield survey. This will provide the first survey-based USDA forecast of corn and soybean yields for 2020. Every individual report is confidential by law, but they contribute to the state average. Results will be published on August 12. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Heavy wind and rain damaged crops in some areas of Minnesota, but boosted soil moisture supplies and pasture conditions statewide. There were 5.1 days suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 2% very short, 7% short, 73% adequate, and 18% surplus. Silked corn reached 90% and was 13 days ahead of last year and 8 days ahead of the 5-year average. Corn was 15% at the dough stage, that's 9 days ahead of last year and 4 days ahead of average. Corn condition improved slightly to 84%, good to excellent. Soybeans blooming reached 89% this week, that's 9 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of normal. Soybeans were 55% setting pods, that's 10 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of the average. Soybean condition improved to 84%, good to excellent. Spring wheat turning color was 2 days behind normal at 72%. There were scattered reports that the wheat harvest had begun, and pasture conditions increased to 71%, good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Corn Belt. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. willag.org, willag.org. Just click and play from the website. Or look us up as a podcast, search out The Closing Market Report or Commodity Week in places like Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One, even Spotify. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming was kind enough to leave us this audio note on the weather forecast. Here's Don.
As we leave July and head into August here over the next week, it looks like a fairly typical pattern in terms of averages, average precipitation, average temperatures in many areas of the Midwest and Corn Belt. We certainly do have concerns here, probably for another week or so, where rains in some areas of the Corn Belt are still going to be lacking. This will be especially true in Iowa, parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin, maybe parts of Illinois and eastern areas of Nebraska. However, the longer term, as we get past, let's say, the middle to the end of next week, does look like thunderstorm coverage is going to increase over all of the Corn Belt. In the short term, the better chances of rain will be across Kansas, Missouri, southern Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, into those areas, favoring the southern, southwest, and eastern areas of the Corn Belt over the next week. The second half of the forecast, going out the 10 to 14 days, the better chances of rains will be found moving a little bit more into the northern and western areas of the Corn Belt. Some of the northern plains will be drier, the Dakotas, parts of northern and central areas of Minnesota, and parts of the central and northern areas of the Great Lakes. When it comes to temperatures, no one's going to bake. In fact, we're looking at temperatures on the whole over the next week to 10 days being very close to average, if not a bit below. In fact, there's going to be a large part of the nation's midsection at average, slightly below average, over the next 10 to 14 days.
That's Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Well, Dan O'Brien now joins us from Kansas State Extension. Thanks so much, Dan, for being with us. I've had an interesting ride through North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Illinois, and now I'm in Iowa. But you're in Kansas, of course, and maybe we should get an update of what the Kansas corn crop looks like from you. I know you're a little on the far to the western side, but what are things like in your part of the world?
Well, up until the last few days, we've been really affected by hot, dry weather. When you look at the U.S. Drought Monitor maps, again, basically the western half or more of the state's affected. But we've had substantial rainfall in these areas now. So it'll be really interesting to see where we're at. Again, question would be, well, when we were pollinating, how'd that heat affect us and such? So that's still some uncertainty. Right now, though, irrigation wells are turned off in the western part of the state, and we've caught some rain. There are, as you know, all over the Corn Belt, it's spotty. Some places have caught rain, others haven't. I probably where you're at right now, you're probably in the part of Iowa where the drought monitor maps have said they've been pretty dry. So
it is. They have not had rain here since June. And they didn't get rain this past week either.
Well, that's a big deal. You know, Iowa, northwest Iowa, north central Iowa, that's the whole part of it. That's big to the Corn Belt. And the drought monitor maps had been indicating Indiana, Ohio, some other parts, again, the western part of the Dakotas, also not doing so great. So we have uncertainty yet. And our crops, where we've got rain, people are thankful, but they're not talking a lot. That's how it is in Kansas.
Yeah. So I always say about a corn crop or any particular area, if you don't hear from them, for instance, if I'm doing the reports and I never hear anything from Iowa, I know they're doing really well.
They're doing decent.
Yeah, they don't talk, but if they're not, you will hear from them. So I think we're hearing from a lot of places that dry conditions have been developing, and of course the weekly crop progress reports, along with those drought monitors and any precipitation map certainly shows that. And we'll have a chance to see what USDA has to say on August the 12th when we get a survey mostly of farmers for the crop report. Though I think the Iowa crop, from what I've seen, will be far enough along. There may be some really pretty decent hard numbers from them as well. Speaking of hard numbers, we should talk about the agricultural energies. You always run some profit and losses on the ethanol plants. What does it look like this month?
Well, plants mainly where you're at for the state of Iowa, kind of focusing on that as kind of the middle ground of, you know, between the eastern west, north and south. For the month of July, with data, you know, four data points, the 3rd, 10th, 17th, 24th for USDA numbers, on average, we're showing about a break even, about $1.30 per gallon cost, and the price about $1.29, so down 1 cent. Now, the first 3 weeks of that month are vastly different than what was reported that last week, the 24th. 24th, we dropped from 147, 132 down to $1.16 per gallon for ethanol that week. DDGs dropped off, corn prices about 305 that week. Again, break even about $1.29, but a loss of 13 cents a gallon. So, you know, the positive market signals we had for the first 3 weeks of that month, at least for 1 week, dropped off pretty sharply. And I'm sure the ethanol industry would be glad to see that trend reverse. But it has to do with summer driving, no doubt, other issues. But at least with that 1 week, we've dropped off some. On the month overall, looking decent to break even, but a troublesome trend there at the end.
What do the hard numbers in the reports show you from EIA and other places?
Well, I need to look at that closer. The main number I've been looking at is the profitability side. I would say that it's surprising when we do look for a hard number where the corn market has gone. Again, 314, 322 earlier in the month of July, and now 305, 306. Of course, the futures are sideways to lower in terms of where we're at. I would add something that we're seeing in our part of the country, and I'm curious what you're seeing in Iowa, and when you get back home to Illinois, what the basis is doing. Our basis is tremendous. So the futures are just so-so, you know, 330, 340, thereabouts. For decent corn, but we have some of the strongest corn basis that we've seen in several years, since at least 2016. So that gives pause for thought as to what's happening underneath all of this, underneath all this stuff. I realize in aggregate that they're looking at the size of the crop, et cetera, but we've got some demand pull going on in our neighborhoods that are giving us some you know, relatively, well, better basis bids, better prices than we'd normally expect to see with futures at these levels.
Do you think that's just a function of the very low futures price and nothing more, or is there actually real demand under there that's closing the gap between futures and the basis?
Well, I would, if there was no...
Meaning farmers aren't selling what's in the bin.
Well, that's no doubt, you know, there's always the issue of local supplies of corn coming to the market, but if we didn't have some pushback, we'd just go along with historic normal averages. But we're seeing the tightest basis in a lot of these areas of Kansas for corn, especially for grain sorghum, but that's driven mainly by exports. But on the demand side, you know, these other domestic demands and et cetera, we're seeing again basis holding up pretty well, So my friends Todd, Scott, and others back in Illinois, I'd be really curious to see what you all are seeing in your locales with regard to basis levels. I know out here to the west, in our part of the Corn Belt, we've got something that at least demands being looked at in terms of what type of signals it's giving. So your question is relevant. Is it underlying demand, or is it just trying to compensate some for the low futures price? I would tend to think it's underlying demand, or the buyers that are trying to get hold of this, they would just sit on the sidelines and let the market come to them otherwise.
Anything else on ethanol before I let you go for the day?
Just watching, no doubt, the trends in the U.S. economy, motor fuel use as we finish out the summer. I think that key number that's affected our profitability now is the price of ethanol, and so we'll be watching that figure, I think, pretty much for the next couple months to see how the profitability of that industry holds up, and they can recover some of the losses that they'd had earlier in the year.
Hey, thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
Dan O'Brien is with Kansas State Extension. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon.